Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
And thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're looking forward to this broadcast together with you today. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on some ideological dogma or philosophy of man, but based on the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of folks today that are not interested in truth. In fact, Representative Trey Gowdy left the governmental offices in Washington, retired, if you will, from the political arena, because in one of his interviews he said he had discovered that in Washington, that the legislators were not interested in finding truth. He said, "My background is as a federal prosecutor." He said, "In a courtroom, it was always my journey, my job, to seek out and discover and prove the truth in a courtroom." He said, "But I discovered in Washington, they're not interested in truth at all." But ladies and gentlemen, the frightening thing to me is that I find that that is universal, that most are not interested in truth, the truth of the Word of God, the truth of a situation, the truth of where we are in America and where we stand. This is the reason we need to depend on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Jesus himself said in John 17:17, "Thy Word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, we deal with issues every day on this broadcast with you, our listener, in mind. This is a question and answer, Q&A, broadcast. It's designed for you to ask the question. We can respond. We generally have a track to run on with a subject for the day, an issue to cover, but wide open for you to interject your thoughts and your questions relative to, in particular, that broadcast for that particular day. So we invite you to call us today. You can call it 401-1413, 401-1413 is the dial-in number. Gets you straight through to the studios and right to our microphone so that we can have the dialogue and discussion with you. We're going to be discussing an issue today that's in question form. What happens when people forget God? What happens when people forget God? Ladies and gentlemen, you can study all of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the text in relationship to the nation of Israel, and Israel would be blessed of God immensely, where God would provide protection and provision. God would provide his overshadowing care, and yet Israel would wander after false gods, other gods, turn their backs on the true God, and God would take them into bondage, carry them into slavery. He would judge them. They would cry out to God for peace. They would cry out to God for mercy. They would cry out to God for restoration and release from the enemy. God would release them from the bondage of slavery and the bondage of the enemy, and they would go back and do the same thing again, only to once again have God to deliver them, and then they would once again abandon God and forget God. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's the cycle that we're watching in America today. What happens when people forget God? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe in this modern contemporary society that we're living in. It's a society where we are witnessing a decline in the values of prayer, a decline in the view of God, a decline in the view of the home, a decline in church attendance in every denomination. We're watching a decline in moral values. We're watching a decline in spirituality. And yet we are living in a society today, ladies and gentlemen, where God has blessed America as perhaps no other nation on the face of the globe. Today in America, ladies and gentlemen, we have more money, more jobs, more home ownership, more health care, more televisions and homes, more electronic devices and gadgets, literally more wealth than in the history of America. But ladies and gentlemen, when we forget God, a good indication, a good barometer of when a nation begins to forget God, when a nation begins to go into decline against spiritual things, a good view and a good barometer of when a nation has turned its back on God is when you see human life diminished in value, when you see human life diminished by way of abortion for the helpless in the womb and euthanasia by the hand of physicians and so-called medical care for the helpless in nursing homes and in emergency rooms and in hospitals. No greater indication, ladies and gentlemen, in my most humble opinion, that we're on the fast track to a decline as a nation because we have forgotten God. When a nation forgets God, God turns his back on the nation. And one of the evidences that America, that we have turned our backs on God, as we are basking in the arms of luxury, as we're basking in the days of plenty, as we're basking in the greatest wealth that America's seen in the history of America. Yet today, ladies and gentlemen, everything we're seeing the greatest upheavals, the greatest dissatisfaction, almost in every area of life. Why is this happening? There is a rumbling, a churning, a discontentment, a dissatisfaction in every facet and form of life in America today. You must pause and ask the question, what is causing the upheaval? What is bringing about the dissatisfaction? What is causing the unrest? What brings about the potentiality of our nation rushing headlong into socialism? And socialism is simply communism light. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in that day where we are watching the tyrants and the dictators, the anti-God socialist communist movement today that's going to fill the void where we have left off obeying God and following God. This is what happens when a people, when a nation, when a family, when a home, when a church forgets God. We're watching churches today that embrace the LGBTQ community. We're watching churches today that will say we need to unhitch from the Old Testament. We're watching churches today that will have their preacher stand and say that the Ten Commandments are no longer relevant in society. We're watching a society today where the Pope declares that there's no such place as hell. We're watching society today where there is a mindset that the Bible is an old book written by old white men and ought to be jettisoned off and discarded because it's no longer in agreement with the current societal mindset and philosophies. That's where we are. And I believe all of this is part and parcel of what happens when a people forgets God, when a nation forgets God. We today, ladies and gentlemen, have the greatest wealth that society has ever seen. And yet we're following the Pied Piper with the false goals of a utopian society by way of socialism. We have many of the Socialist Democratic Party today now running for president. I don't know if you watch the entourage as it's unfurling before our eyes with those that are popping up and feeling that somehow, some way, and I believe most of it's born out of pride, that they feel that somehow, some way, they ought to be a candidate for president. These socialist candidates are attempting to gain footing and to gather following by promising free college education, free medical care, free child care, free everything, with a guaranteed minimum income for everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, that's simply unworkable. In fact, let me just give you a little footnote tidbit. in our university, Conservative Theological University, we're finding that multitudes today will make an inquiry. They're interested in studying God's Word from a conservative biblical, central biblicist viewpoint. But when they discover there is a cost involved, they'd rather go to a secular college or university where they have a department of religion, where they can get a tidbit of the frills and not really study the Bible. All they want is to come out with a credential in hand that says they've been to school without really knowing the Word of God. This is the reason we have, ladies and gentlemen, pulpits across America filled with airheads today that have a credential that says that they graduated from a religious division of some secular college or university. But they do not know the God of the Bible. They do not know doctrinal theological truth at all. But that's a good illustration of those favoring a utopian goal of everything being free. We're going to talk about that further in this broadcast. But here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says Americans favor capitalism, but tempted by socialism. Both are ill-informed. Let me just read you a little informative blurb, about two paragraphs from this article. Surveys sometimes reveal frightening or shocking things that Americans believe. A new survey by the American Culture and Faith Institute, that's the former name, the Barna Report. The American Culture and Faith Institute provides such a stunning insight. 4 out of 10 American adults, that's 40%, claim that they prefer socialism over capitalism. Let me read that once again. 4 out of every 10 American adults, that's 40%, claim that they prefer socialism over capitalism. The article further says that means, of course, that 6 out of 10 prefer capitalism over socialism. However, the numbers of those who prefer socialism have been steadily rising over the past few years. According to the research of George Barner, who directed the survey, and even though younger people, listen, were more likely than their elders to embrace the notion of socialistic America, substantial numbers of older Americans have bought into the premise as well. About half of the millennials, 52%. And let me pause a moment, ladies and gentlemen. The millennials are identifying the 18 to 35-year-old age group. If you want to get a little idea of that age group and the mentality, look at the lady that just won a seat in upstate New York, Alexandria Cortez, and she wants socialism full swing. She wants free everything. When asked by an anchor that was interviewing her on national television, said, where are you going to get the money? She said, of course, the government. We'll just print the money. She said there were 3 branches of Congress. Doesn't even know the 3 branches of government. So that's what we're talking about with, say, millennials. Further, the article says about half the millennials, 52%, said they would prefer socialism compared to 45% of the Generation X respondents. More than one-third of the boomers, 37%, and one-quarter, 26%, of those that are 65 years old or older. Ladies and gentlemen, that is petrifying to me. I don't know about you. The survey found, this article says, survey found significant proportions of various population groups unexpectedly leaning toward socialism. Those segments include 1 out of every 5 political conservatives, 21%, 3 out of every 10 born-again Christians, that's 30%. That's the thing that's frightening. We'll talk about that more in this broadcast in a moment. 1/4 of those who are theologically conservative, 24%. 1 in 6 adults with a biblical worldview, that's 15%. And more than 4 out of 10 residents of the South, that's 43%. And all of those statistics might stagger you, but ladies and gentlemen, the whole point is that we're increasing to the off-the-balance scale of those that are wanting socialism, grappling for something that's free, wanting something that costs nothing, wanting to gather and to gain and to get the benefits of what others have worked for, looking forward to, as it used to be called, just simply a handout without having to work for it. Ladies and gentlemen, an impossibility to provide free medical care, free child care, free everything for everybody with a guaranteed minimum income and remain as a free nation. We're talking about everything, but we're not recognizing that if we give up our freedom, constitutional freedom, if we give up our religious liberties, and if we jettison off the Bill of Rights, then we can have all the money and all the gold in the world from a societal standpoint. Only those that are the dictator leaders will have it. If you don't believe that, look at Maduro in Venezuela. You understand that, and I've just read an article where he said, the article says that he has billions of dollars in bank accounts around the globe, and yet the people are starving to death in Venezuela. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the end result. That's the utopian society that they're wanting to push for America today. These socialist candidates fail to tell the people that nothing is free. It all must be paid for, which is an impossibility from a socialistic agenda, as has been found by every nation, every people that have become enslaved as a result of socialism and communism. Look at Cuba. Look at Venezuela. Look at the communist dictatorship in North Korea. Look at what's happening in China. And I could go on and on and on. Socialism failed in the first century church, ladies and gentlemen. It was a failure. In fact, in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, the scripture says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." But ladies and gentlemen, that failed as a system of governance. There were those that would want to come to the table and eat and had not worked. There were those that would simply lackadaisically, nonchalantly sit all day or be busybodies into other homes and would still partake of the goods and the provision made by those working. Eventually, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, "For even when we were with you," that's Paul speaking, "this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." I just have a little marginal note in my Bible with that. No work, no wages, no food. But I want us to understand that's not the understanding in society today when it comes to the mantra of socialism. Ladies and gentlemen, socialists have failed since the first century. Since the first century church, socialism has totally had a abysmal failure, a track record of zero. But socialists have failed in every nation where it's been tried. And as I said a moment ago, Venezuela is a good example. I understand that the, the escalation of cost, the inflation rate, has gone up some, and this sounds almost astronomical, but it was quoted the other evening on Fox News about the situation in Venezuela, that inflation is over 1,000,000%, 1,000,000%. People are fleeing, some 3 million have fled for their lives. Those that are remaining there are eating cat and dog food to live. It's an impossibility to buy anything, have anything. They're all displaced, they're all without a home, and yet the military, our strong arm of Maduro, is out in the street enforcing upon the people the socialistic, communistic agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we need to tuck in at this moment and let us understand is that this is impossible in a nation where you have a constitution, where you have a Bill of Rights. It's an impossibility in a nation where you have the right to keep and bear arms. Ladies and gentlemen, America is free because of God's oversight and our founding fathers with our founding documents that provide us with the constitutional liberties of the liberty of freedom of speech and the freedom of religion and the opportunity to worship God. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can join in this dialogue and ask your questions, give your comments by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Socialism will take our freedom, enslave our people, destroy our freedom of religion, freedom of press, and the freedom of speech. Any socialist educational system will only brainwash its citizens, and socialism will disarm its citizens, and thus there's no way to defend any rights against the dictators that would come in and take control. Here's an article that says, and it's very clear, to implement socialism, just brainwash the kids, end quote. The article says children are like clay. They can mold them in anything you want. Good, just men and women, are murderers, killers, thieves, brutal dictators, provided you start early enough in their lives, like at birth or in their formative years in the elementary, middle, and high school grades. As many of you know, Hitler was very aware of this fact and established what was called the Hitler's Youth Corps. Ladies and gentlemen, the article goes further to say most Americans are unaware what the federal government has done and is doing in American youth. It's tantamount to what Hitler did during his rise to power, only on a lesser scale. It goes on in this article, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about this group that did a research about the textbooks that are being used in our schools. And they refer to constitutional democracy. And this article says, mentioning the term constitutional democracy, and yet anyone familiar with American history knows full well that America is created as a constitutional republic. You won't find any mention in the textbooks of a constitutional republic, but the distinctions are significant to American freedom and liberty. A democracy gives the majority absolute power and creates what has been called an absolute democracy or democratic monarchy. Very similar to what American government has evolved in at this very day. But a constitutional republic protects the minority from the tyranny of the majority. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that was well defined by our founding fathers. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning.
You just touched the point that I was thinking, is that the main problem, as I see it, is the schools, the institutions, the kids, just as you said a while ago, the youngsters, they are indoctrinating them. If they teach them nothing else, as it were, you don't know what they come. They're making sure from very early they are indoctrinating them into the socialism, and that it is good for them. And the way they put it, it look appealing to the youngsters. There will be nobody rich. I think that thing is born out of a covetous heart, where, you know, people want to get control of what others work for and have. And for the youngsters, they pass it on to them that some are too rich and some don't have anything. So they make it look very appealing to the youngsters that socialism will bring everybody on the same level. There won't be any more rich. And just as you say, it's just a matter of turning it around, taking away what people were enslaving people, and then those who are pushing this thing, they expect that they will be in the few who will enjoy the benefits of everybody else. The situation is I think America is really has been taking things too lightly and has been very careless. Because, you know, we have things happening, the overture of America right now. In other words, you get some people pushing and saying it, that President Trump is hated, and that they hate him. It's not him. It's not that they hate him as a person that much. The problem is interfering with the agenda. There was in the last regime, they got a good push under Obama. If the law didn't intervene, America would have lost its freedom.
Yes,
would be gone
exactly,
very far. Right.
You're exactly
so
right. You're
that's
exactly right.
What they're doing to him now, they would kill him if they could get the chance. They really,
yes.
But it's not him personally. Anybody in his position would be going through the same thing or worse. The only that God selected him, that
you're,
he's strong
you're
enough.
Exactly,
to
you're
be
exactly
bearing
right.
One thing.
I am thankful for your input on that.
Agenda.
And let me remind our listeners that one of the things that we see, we're talking about the free education, the free health care, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
In fact, each of those that are wanting to have the utopian philosophy of socialism / communism introduced in America and pushed, they're talking about free child care. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, if you have that child from 6 weeks up and in the governmentally controlled school educational system, there's only brainwashing that's taking place to prepare that child to become an adult to push for the socialist agenda. And that's exactly what's happening. In fact, as I said a moment ago, where the Constitutional Republic is now referred to in the textbooks as the constitutional democracy. But here's an article that says Syracuse University, U.S. Constitution is exclusionary to some students. There's an attempt to form a student organization, the Young Americans for Freedom, the YAF, in the university, and the university has refused to do so. Why? Because the Young Americans for Freedom insist that the students study the Constitution and know the Constitution, and it's the whole organization is strategized around the students being introduced to what the Constitution says. Syracuse University, this article says, denied an application for the Young Americans for Freedom to become a registered student organization, stating as one of its reasons for doing so that they required students to believe in the U.S. Constitution. Isn't that refreshing? But yet they were closed out, barred from starting that organization on the campus because of that. But ladies and gentlemen, when we find what's happening in Korea, and North Korea and China and other places like that, and realize that we're in for a major problem. And I'm speaking on behalf of Christians and conservatives that by necessity must be silenced in any socialist communistic movement. You can look at North Korea and you can look at China. Here's an article that says pastors in China prepared to lose their lives for preaching the gospel because they're defying the communist crackdown. This article says, in the face of ongoing communist crackdown, pastors in China have vowed to continue preaching the gospel, even if it costs them their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think that we in America get the full grasp. I don't think we get the full understanding. I don't think we even have a smattering of understanding of what America would be like if we could be overnight turned into a North Korea or a China. That is exactly where we're heading. This article says concern has arisen over instances where state officials have been forcing Christians to sign papers rejecting their faith. Quote, they're tempted and threatened not to admit their Christian faith in order to avoid trouble in the communist regime. The Christian faith is being challenged and tested at every hand by the Chinese government today. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to think for a moment. That there are basic reasons why socialism is certainly not Christianity, is not Christian at all. Here's an article that says, socialism is not Christian. Jesus confronted the money changers and challenged believers to give to the needy. But would he support socialism? Listen to this. Increasingly, Americans think that he would. That's frightening to me. In fact, a recent Barna poll found that more Americans think Jesus would prefer socialism, 24%, than those who believe that he would prefer capitalism, only 14%. The other 62% respondents were neither sure, but the poll still revealed a disturbing trend. And it goes on with the poll pointing out that in this poll, 53% of the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, prefer they are pro-socialist generational in America. I find it absolutely frightening, ladies and gentlemen, with these statistical things. Socialism is based on materialistic worldview, ladies and gentlemen, and it is not biblical. Socialism, hear me again, is based on a materialistic worldview. The socialists, all that they really think that really exists is a material world. In fact, it was Karl Marx, the father of socialism and communism, invented the notion of a materialistic society, the belief that no matter what contains and who is in the power itself is what is, after all, important. This enabled Karl Marx to eliminate the need for a creator, essentially erasing the existence of anything that's non-material. Also, ladies and gentlemen, a socialistic worldview, punishes virtue. Socialism wants to distribute wealth to individuals according to their need, regardless of the virtue of it. Karl Marx famously said, quote, from each according to his ability and to each according to his need. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, the Bible is very clear. If you're unwilling to work, you ought not to eat. And I don't think there's anything that could have been stated any more succinctly than that in the biblical text. But we have this Bernie Sanders character that is believing in socialism and wanted to push his agenda of making a socialistic America. But ladies and gentlemen, he has just purchased his third multi-million dollar home. Bernie Sanders is campaigning for president again, and officially he entered into the crowded 2020 Democratic presidential field just Tuesday and said he wanted to finish the revolution that he started in 2016. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that we need to say no to socialism. What are we to do? How are we to respond as Christians? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to go back to the scripture. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Our nation needs healing. Our homes need healing. Our families need healing. Our churches need healing. Ladies and gentlemen, let me close with a brief little statement from Jay Sekulow, ACLJ. He says, socialist New Deal would get rid of the planes, get rid of your cows, get rid of and create a single payer governmental system, and it will not work. It will destroy our nation. And I couldn't say it any better. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air, even tomorrow, as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.